We're going to talk about one positive, but the truth is there's three different shurim that you're throwing into one over here. We're going to try to do one, concentrate on one of them, and then go from there. The pasuk says in Parshas Vayikra, Parak Yud, Pasuk Yud, Beis Atzi Yisrael Mashal Melekach Hashol Mimach. What does God ask of you? Kim Liyiras Hashem Melekach, that you should fear God. Lelech Bol Dorachav, go in His ways. La'avo so to love Him. La'avo to Hashem Melekach B'chol Vavchol Chamashecha, and to serve Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So the truth is that really is asking a lot. If it was just saying like, what else do I ask of you aside from Yira? That's one thing, and that's the way the Gemara kind of puts it. But it's like, what else do I ask from you aside from everything in the world? I want you to do absolutely everything. It's a little bit of a shocker when you see the pasuk and you see that it really is quite a bit. There are four things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants: be in awe, emulate Him, love Him, and serve Him with all of your heart and soul, and do everything there. So we're going to go through three different lessons in this pasuk. So the first lesson we're going to do is from Rashi. We're not going to concentrate on this. There's Rav Schwab or Rav Chanan Wasserman on this subject, but nonetheless, the line is, HaKol Bidei Shemayim, everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change and do whatever He wants with it. Chutz Miyiras Shemayim. That does not include fear of heaven. Fear of heaven is automatic. Fear of heaven is something which is something that a person has to work on, and you cannot ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you with it. You can't say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give me this. That's something you have to work on yourself, and if you don't work on it, it'll never come. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that the word Ata, when he says Ata Yisrael, what does God ask from you right now? It refers to tshuva. That refers to tshuva. It's based on a Bereishis Rabba, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh quotes, when a person does tshuva, the first thing he needs is to grow in his yira. He grabs more and more mitzvot until he makes himself into a different person. That's the biyata. Do tshuva, build yourself up, make yourself into a different person. That's what a person should get to, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Now, the Chafetz Chaim wants to explain why the word ata refers to tshuva. Why does that word ata of now refer to tshuva? And he gives three different ideas, but they're all 100% true. Unlike any other mitzvah, tshuva can be done at any time and any place. Wherever a person is, he doesn't need, and there's no prerequisites. You don't have to be in a shul in order to do tshuva. It doesn't have to be a certain time of year to do tshuva. All it takes is a person to be able to sit and think to himself, what did I do? Is that the right thing or not? And all of a sudden, he's just done tshuva. That's one thing, that it's ata. It can happen right now at wherever I am. The second thing is that you can't push it off. There's no procrastination when it comes to tshuva. If a person says, I'm not going to do it now, I'll do it later, it will never happen. The Yetzer Hara is going to grab a hold of you, and that's what he tells you. He says, right now, you have no time today, you can't learn, you can't daven, you can't do this, you can't do that, and he gives you excuse after excuse after excuse to not do it, to not even think about it. The way to do tshuva is to say, right now, I'm going to do tshuva. I'm not going to wait at all, I'm going to do it right here as we speak. That's the only way to really get yourself to do it before the opportunity presents itself. That's the only real way to be able to get a hold of it. That's number two. And then the third way, he says, the third thing that the word Atzah represents is that the Yitzhar is going to tell you, do you really think, do you honestly think that that's what's going to happen? Do you think that you're going to be able to do tshuva? You're a tremendous sinner. You're a person who's done terrible things. Such a person cannot do tshuva. Such a person, that guy has no chance to be able to do tshuva or to do anything like that. That's the idea behind it, says the Chafetz Chaim, that you should think of yourself as a child that was just born now. Right now, I can do it. Right now, I can work on myself. That's the idea of what we're talking about over here. Did you just take a shower? That makes sense. All right, anyway, that's the idea behind it. That's the word va'atza and how it means tshuva. That's our first part over here. Can you guys pass one of the bowls down there so those guys can get just pass it all the way down there? Alright, so that's our first part. The first part is the word Atta. That gets into our first part. The second part. There's a Gemara Menachos Mem Gimel in the days, and we're all experts in the Gemara Menachos Mem Gimel in the days, of course. Who hasn't seen the Gemara Menachos? It says, Reb Meir, it's a brisa from Reb Meir, that a person is chayiv to make 100 brachos every day. There's Zilcha today, there's a Mizonos, there's a Shahakol. If you make more than one brach on Shalant, you can get three different brachos on the Shalant itself. The Berei Nefashos and the Shahakol you get before an Alamich afterward, is that we're helping you getting the 100 brachos a day. And they quote this pasuk, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach. What does God ask from you? So Rashi says over there, Kari Be Meah. Read it as 100. Me'ah Hashem Elokecha Shol Me'imach. Hashem is asking you to do 100 brachos every single day. That's what God wants from you. The Aleph is added on to the middle of the word Ma, so that instead of saying the word Ma, what does God ask from you? It's here's what He's asking from you. He's asking you for 100. 100 different brachos to be able to do. That's what He's asking you for. That's the idea behind it. Tosis argues that really it's from the letters in the pasuk. In that pasuk there are 99 letters. But if you add on, you could count it, I guess, from the very, very beginning. But if you add on a vav to the word shoel, Ma'asham Elokecha Shoel Me'imach, there's 100 letters altogether. So Tosfos says, add on the vav, you get 100 letters in the pasuk. The 100 letters stand for 100 brachos. The Minchas Shai says we don't do that. And in our pasuk, the word shoel does not have a vav. There is no vav by it. But he says maybe, says Tosfos, maybe it's the aleph that's added on that becomes 100. There's 99 letters in the pasuk. The aleph added on to ma becomes the 100th letter. So instead of the vav added on to the word shoel, you have the aleph added on to the word ma, and that's how you'd have to learn it. That's the second real answer that he gets from there, the added on letter making 100. A third answer is brought down by the Rishonim. Ma in atbas. Everybody knows what atbas is. Aleph corresponds to tuf. Bez is shin, gimel is resh, dalet is kuf, and you go all the way down. If you take a mem and a hey, you come out with a tzadi and a yud in atbash. And since a tzadi and yud is 90 and 10, that's 100. So we have, from ma, we get 100 brachos every single day. You end up getting 100 brachos from the atbash of that. And the Rokeach finally says, ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Me'imach ki is the gematria of 674, which is me'ah brachos. 100 brachos altogether. Me'ah brachos altogether. So we have five answers given over here, whether it's either you add on an aleph, or the extra vav and shol, and there's 100 letters, or the extra aleph in ma, and you get 100. That's three altogether. You have a fourth, which is the ma in atbash, and the fifth, which is the gematria of me'ah brachos from ma'asham melkecha shol me'imach. Now let's go very quickly. Before we start the real shir, what are these 100 brachos that you have per day? If you look on the back of page 4 over here, I have a list of a normal day, what a person goes to in order to make 100 brachos. You'll have Kriya Shema Lamita is number 1. You got to say that before you go to bed at night. Al Netilas Yadayim, Asher Yatzar, Elokai Neshama, and Birchas HaTorah are 2. That's 2 through 6. Talis and Tefillin, that's 1 and 2. That's 7 through 9. Birchas HaShachar, meaning taking all the different brachos, Birchas HaShem, L'Kenach Olam HaShem, HaSan, L'Sach, Divina, all the way up until the end, is another 15. That brings you to 24. Baruch Shomar and Yishtabach is 26. Birchos Kriyas Shema, there's 3, that's 29. Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv Shmona Esrei is 57 altogether, that's 86. Birchos Kriyas Shema at night, that's 4 of them altogether, that's 91. And then you wash Hamotzi and bench once a day, you're already up to 97. You eat one other thing during that day. You have 2 more brachos. That's a Mizonas Alamithi or Shahakol Brain of Pashos. And then the 100th is you go to the bathroom once a day. Halavai, right? But once a day, it ends up being you got 100 brachos without even trying. You don't even have to do anything. There's no attempt. I'm sorry?
Why don't you count Marv from the evening before?
I'm counting Marv of this day. Whichever one. Marv of this day or the other day.
But I'm saying,
yeah, whichever one. It doesn't matter. Whichever one you do, either way, if you get Marv the night before or Marv now, either way, right, you're going to get something, and that'll be 100 altogether. Now, I'm sorry? So on a fast day, you end up losing the benching ones, right? You end up losing those. You'd have to make it up by going to the bathroom a couple times or by smelling bisumim or something like that. But it's something to keep in mind, you know, for the next fast day. The next fast day coming up is Tzom Gedalia, Yom Kippur. No, Tzom Gedalia, Tzom Gedalia. We got Tzom Gedalia first, so you have to keep that in mind for that to remember. Although, even Tzom Gedalia, you got the night before where you can eat. You still have something to be able to eat. Now, Shabbos is a little bit more difficult. You take out the 57 brachos or Shemon Esrei because you don't have the 19 times 3, you only have 7 times 4, that's only 28. You can add on Kiddush twice, you gotta wash Hamotzi and bench 3 times, so that is added on there, and you have snacks that you can make in Oneg Shabbos and things like that. All together though, even if you go to the bathroom 3 times on Shabbos, you're gonna end up with 87 brachos. There are a lot of different opinions what you can do, but you should keep that in mind on a Shabbos. There are people that have extra fruits or extra besamim to be able to smell just when Shabbos comes along to be able to make sure they get 100 brachos. If you don't have that, then you should remember to keep in mind when they're making aliyah, they're making the brachos on the aliyos, that you should have in mind, this should count for my 100 brachos. I'm sorry?
That's 20.
Well, you have at least. Yeah, that should be fine. Yeah. The major issue is Yom Kippur. The Mishnah Berurah talks about this a little bit. Yom Kippur is a major problem because you run out of everything. There's no food to have. No matter how you look at it, even if you include every bracha of Chazaras HaShatz and whoever's making the aliyahs, you take in every aliyah that you have and you count every bracha for yourself, you still won't come out to 100. It comes out to about 93. You're going to end up with that. And that's why people have besamim on them and they go to the bathroom a couple times. You go to the bathroom three times, that's 96. And then you have besamim a couple times, that's 100 altogether. But otherwise, you're not going to get it. But that's how you make 100 brachos every day, and it's there, right there on the back for everybody to have. Now, the Marsha goes back to Rashi's answer. Rashi said that Kari Be'mea, you take the man, you turn it into mea. He said the following. He says, that makes no sense. You don't change a word in the Torah unless there's something wrong. If there's something wrong in the reading of the pasuk, then you can change it. But you can't just randomly throw a letter in there and just say, what's darshan, and see what happens if we throw in an aleph in the middle of the word. How can you do such a thing? So in other words, the wording makes sense. But actually, so if we're looking in pshat in the pasuk, now b'nei Yisrael, what does God ask from you? Can we hear? You can't put in an aleph in there. Think of the pshat. 100 God asks from you. That doesn't make any sense. Ki im liyira. The whole word doesn't make any sense. So the Marsha asks on Rashi and says, how does that work? You can't just make up a word like that. You can't just add an aleph like that. How could it be? So it could be that Rashi means that you read, so to speak, 100 letters into the pasuk like Tosafot suggested, but he doesn't like that answer. And it doesn't make that much sense. Rav Yosef Engel, right? Rav Yosef Engel was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He lived about 150 years ago, wrote almost like an encyclopedia that unfortunately we lost over the years. The Nazis in Mount Shemon, when they burned most of the Sfarim, we lost the encyclopedia of Yosef Engel. He says that the Aleph was never considered a real addition. As we say by Gematria all the time. Everybody knows, and if you've ever been in Skokie Yeshiva and Rabbi Shafter's year, you know, Aleph is fine because HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts within the Gematria. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, so you can be off by one and there's no problem. The raya they give to this is the Bala Turim that says, Ruvain v'Shimon, Ephraim u'Menashe ki Ruvain v'Shimon yuli. That Ephraim and Menashe are like Ruvain and Shimon. The Bala Turim says, Ephraim and Menashe together is the Gematria of Ruvain and Shimon, but off by one. To me, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's like they're the same. So the Bala Turim learns from there, you can be off by one. That's where they get the concept from. That's where it says, where Yosef Engel says that you can read an aleph into any pasuk.
Even though it's 99. An aleph in the key thing, the atbayin thing.
An atbash tough.
It's tough. Yeah. So then it is something.
Obviously. But the Aleph is standing for Aluf, as in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's always involved, so to speak, so that one can always be added on. That's the idea behind it. And they learn it from that pasuk. That's where Yosef Engel. The Marsha himself gives an unbelievable teretz. He says, there is a question on the pasuk, and it doesn't read straight. Here's the problem. What does God ask from you? Except to fear him, love him, serve him, emulate him, do all these things. He wants you to do everything. I mean, so how could you say, what does God ask from you? That's a silly question to ask. He's asking you for everything. He's asking you for your entire life. You can't say, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shomei Melech. In other words, the Marsha is saying, the pasuk doesn't make any sense. Even the Gemara asks this as a question. In Brachos Lamed Gimel Beis, it says, Atu Yira Milsa Zutrasihi. Is Yira such a small thing that it's so easy for everyone to do? And it's, the Gemara answers in, like, Abe Moshe Milsa Zutrasihi. Yeah, most Rabbeinu consider it very easy. We'll go into that a little bit later. But nonetheless, you see there's a kasha. There's a problem with the pasuk. Since there's a problem with reading it as ma, therefore you can add in an aleph and read it as mea Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimach. He knows, God knows you can't do everything all day long. You're not able to. We have physical bodies. We're not able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu every second of every day. That is the highest level that a person can get to. But mea, that he can ask from you. And that will help you have yira and stick to him and love him, etc., etc. So it is, there is a problem with us, and we can darshan it. We do add on a little aleph over there. That's the idea. And then he goes into Kabbalah, which you don't need, why the aleph, and that's the last paragraph, but you don't need that. Alright, the Daz Zakenim. Daz Zakenim brings down, it's brought down by the Tur and Or Chaim Mem Vav in the name of the Medrash Rabbah and the Medrash Tanhuma, that this all started when 100 young people were dying every day. 100 Bachrim were dying every single day in the days of David HaMelech. I don't know how many days that happened. according to the Gemara elsewhere in Yevamos, it seems that it happened 3 days in a row. There were 3 days in a row when this happened. But nonetheless, 100 people were dying, and he was metakein 100 brachos for the 100 people that were dying every day. And he darshened it from Ne'um HaGever Hukam Al. He established the Al. I have Ayin Lamed is 100. He made that in Shmuel Beis Chof Gimel Aleph, and the plague stopped. Plague stopped right there at that point. He's Mechadish. That Modim, this is the party Yosef adds on, that Modim is the gematria of 100. That if you don't make 100 brachos every day, saying Modim Durabanan correctly, bowing in the beginning, the Shabura says you should bow at the end as well, by the way. When you say Baruch El Hodos, you bow a second time at the end. You don't have to, but he says that you don't have to come and do it. What?
Get up at L.
Yeah, you say, no, you do for all three words, Baruch El Hodos. You don't get up. You say, Modi Manach Nulach Hashem Elokeinu, and then you get up by Hashem.
Right.
And then the last three words, Baruch El Hodos, you say that. That counts as if you said 100 brachos a day. So if you concentrate at Modim Durabanan, that also could count for something like this. There seems to be a school. I'm sorry? Yeah, you can get around it. You should try to make 100 brachos, but there is a way around it. There is a way around it you can get there. Now, the Sefer Amanik says that the 100 brachos were made by Moshe Rabbeinu. Huge chiddush. They were made by Moshe Rabbeinu. On Har Sinai, they were forgotten until the days of Dovid HaMelech, and Dovid HaMelech brought it back. The problem with both of that is, we clearly don't have those brachos. Because nobody knows what Moshe Rabbeinu made as his Shemona Esrei. We have no idea if they had a Shemona Esrei. Dovid HaMelech, he didn't make Shemona Esrei either. The Shemona Esrei was made by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah in between the first and second Batei HaMikdash. Maybe in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, when the second Beis HaMikdash was formed, that's when we got our brachos of Shemona Esrei and the brachos of Shema and all those different things. So whatever brachos Dovid HaMelech made and Moshe Rabbeinu made, we don't know what those are. Those are not by us nowadays. Rabbeinu Bachaya says similarly, Dovid HaMelech made them and then forgot them, and they were brought back by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. That really the Shemona Esrei that we're making today, that we say today, is really made by Dovid HaMelech, not by Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, says the Rabbeinu Bachaya. But that's a pella, because we don't see that anywhere else. It's more likely there were brachos originally, and then we brought other brachos later on. The priest on the tour says that Dovid HaMelech gave the secret of the 100 brachos over to the Talmid Chachamim and said, Talmid Chachamim, you come up with whatever you want. You make 100 brachos, whatever 100 brachos you want. At times it was these, at times it was that, and then we made the Shemona Esrei, and it became those 100 brachos that we do today. Now, I'm not going to say the Chassam Sofer entirely, but the Chassam Sofer in Torah's Moshe says just a crazy shot. The way to escape the Malach HaMavis is to learn Torah. We learn that from a few places. There's a Gemara in Makos, Daf Yud, that's also quoted in Moed Katan Chav Ches, regarding Rav Chisda. The Rav Chisda, before he died, the Malach HaMavis couldn't come to him because he kept learning Torah, and the Malach HaMavis had to do something to make him stop learning Torah. He made him, either he threw something out of a tree or whatever it was. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed mentions that Dovid HaMelech could not die. Malach HaMavis couldn't get to him until he made him trip on a step and made him forget, stop his learning for a second, and then he died. That's Dovid HaMelech. But Metzia Pei Zion, I think it's Pei Zion, I didn't look it up, it's around there, says that Rabba Bar Nachmani, when he was in the middle of a forest, he thought that there was these people coming. He was learning. He couldn't be killed by the Malach HaMavis. When he heard these people were coming, he stopped his learning, and the Malach HaMavis was able to get to him. We see also Beis Eli in Rosh Hashanah Yud Ches. The Beis Eli, the children of Eli, all die at the age of 18, but Abaye was from Beis Eli and lived to the age of 60. Rabba was from Beis Eli and he lived to the age of 40 because they learned Torah and they did chesed. Meaning Torah has the ability to knock out the Malach HaMavis completely and allow you to live. So he says the following. If 1,000 men go to the Beis Medrash, 1 out of 100 out of those 1,000 is going to be a person who's going to be a tremendous posek. One person is going to be a posek, somebody who can end up learning and be able to teach others. He says the following, he says, Echad min Meya. 1 out of 100 is going to be that guy. That means 99 people are not going to be as successful when it comes to their learning and escape the Malach HaMavis. One person will be able to escape the Malach HaMavis. So what do those other 99 do?
Have a party.
No, or die. No, that would be bad. Because the 99 can learn under that one guy. They can learn by that one guy. They can have that one person teach them, and by respecting him, by putting that in there, that one person, those 99 people, can get the level of the one and escape from the Malach HaMavis through that. That's the idea. By dozen HaMelech. Hold on a second. But the idea is, by David HaMelech, no, definitely not. By David HaMelech, I don't want to say hopefully not, but David HaMelech was, a person who obviously was a tremendous Talmid Chacham and accosted in many, many different ways. But one thing that was wrong, one thing that happened, is that David HaMelech caused people to think badly about him. What happened by David HaMelech? He was with Bathsheba. He killed Uriachiti. He accepted Lashon Hara from Tziba about Mephibosheth. There were a couple things that David HaMelech did which were questionable. And people in the Beis Medrash brought down to the Gemara Bav Mitzia Nun Tesem and Aleph. They went up to David HaMelech and said, David, he was learning Tara's Tuma and Tahara. Said, David, what's the luck of a person who's together with an Eish HaSish, with a married woman? And he'd say, well, an Eish HaSish, a person who's with an Eish HaSish, he is Chayiv Misa, but he gets a Chelek in Olam Haba. But embarrassing somebody publicly gets no Chelek in Olam Haba. And the people immediately said, oh. But David HaMelech, so to speak, brought down that kavod that they had for the one just a little bit. They expected so much about David HaMelech. They didn't want excuses. They didn't want anything else. They expected so much. The one out of the 100 no longer had the respect, and therefore in David HaMelech's time, says the Chasam Sofer, 100 people were dying every single day. They had lost that respect, and they needed to bring back the 100 brachos because David HaMelech had destroyed that method of kavod that was there. So what were you going to say?
I was just wondering that, how did you go from saying that one out of 100 people here, I was saying that's the only one who live?
It's not that he's the only one that's going to live. If that person is going to be that tremendous Talmid Chacham who's sitting and learning all day, he'll escape the Malach HaMavis. That one person is the guy, so to speak, that's described as escaping the Malach HaMavis. That's the idea behind it. Now, the Chidah goes into this. He also brings down a tremendous idea over here, how to escape from Gehenna. If you look through it, I'm just telling you, I messed up in the Gematria because Big Gehenna with a Yud is actually 110, I'm sorry. So you should take out the Yud. Regardless, he goes into that, but we're not going to go into that. Now, what's the purpose of us making 100 brachos every day? I've got 5 answers as to what happens when you make 100 brachos every day. Number one, the Orach Chaim. You bring Kedusha to the world by doing so. You bring brachos in, you're bringing more Kedusha into the world, you're making things that aren't Kadosh into something Kadosh. There is nothing intrinsically holy about Chalent. Nothing. But by making a bracha on it, you make it holy. You can create Sprite in the most disgusting drink in the world into something holy by going ahead and making a bracha on it. There's nothing more disgusting than aspartame and Diet Coke. But nonetheless, yeah, it can be made. And it takes a lot of a bracha to be able to do that.
Something different.
He might. But regardless, that's the idea, says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, of making everything Kadosh. Number two, Shalos Uchuvis Tash Beitz, Chelek Beis Kuf Kofka says, you gain Yiras Shemayim by making brachos. You make brachos, you gain in Yiras Shemayim automatically. And it makes sense. You make a bracha to Hashem, you're automatically going to be thinking about Shemayim the whole time. So it makes sense that that'll be the next level. You get more and more Yiras Shemayim. That's number two. The Panach Raza says there were 100 sockets in the base of Mikdash. The 100 brachos corresponds to 100 sockets, which means that by making 100 brachos every day, you're zocha to build the base of Mikdash, to add on to the base of Mikdash. That's the idea behind it. That's number three. Number four, the Rokeach says 100 brachos every day saves you from the 100 curses of the Tokhara. There are 98 curses in Parshas Kisavo. Two of them are added on that are unnamed in Parshas Nitzavim. They're like players to be named later. Out of those, there's 100 curses. 100 brachos correspond. You're able to overcome the 100 curses that are there. And the Torah Chaim and Bava Kami is in Akron. In Bava Kama Tzadiyah from Abayz said, it's an unbelievable shot, Rebbe Gamliel would be Mechayiv if somebody steals a bracha from another person. Like, if I wanted to take off Truma and you grabbed my Truma and took off the Truma for me, you separated the Truma and gave it to a Kohen for me, you owe me 10 gold pieces because I lost a bracha by you doing that mitzvah. So a bracha is worth 10 gold pieces from that Gemara over there.
What's the value of the gold pieces?
A gold shekel, golden shekel, so the weight of that. So it's a lot. But either way, but this is because Eliezer said, Baruch Hashem Elokei Avraham, when he first saw Rivka. And he gave her bracelets that were 10 gold shekelim each. The reason why is because he got a bracha because of her, that he could say Baruch Hashem, that he was led to in the right direction to find the right girl, gave her 10 golden pieces for it, and therefore, we see that the payment for making a bracha is 10 gold pieces. If you make 100 brachos a day, 100 times 10 gold pieces is 1,000 gold pieces every day. By you making 100 brachos every day, you get 1,000 gold pieces. This is why Hashem told David HaMelech, Tov, apparently there's a mistake in the Hebrew here, Tov Yom Bekatzerecho. It's better to have a day of you making brachos, a day of you being around, which is 100 brachos every day, May Aleph, rather than the 1,000 gold pieces that I would get otherwise by not having those brachos. I'd rather have your brachos than the 1,000 gold pieces that you would get instead. Okay, our last thing, and we're not going to be able to do all this, but we're going to go through a bunch of them over here. What does it mean by up to Yira Milsa Zutrasi? Is Yira such an easy thing to do that Moshe Rabbeinu is like, hey, what does God ask from you? He only asks for you to fear Him. That's all you got to do. Up to Yira Milsa Zutrasi, it's hard to have that fear for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean that we have to have a fear for a Kadosh Baruch Hu? And the Gemara says, in Legabe Moshe, Yira Milsa Zutrasi. For Moshe Rabbeinu, Yira is easy. But that's fine. But we're talking about us. Maybe it's easy for Moshe. How does that answer the question? It's not easy for us. Is Yira so easy? For Moshe it's easy. Fine, for Moshe it's easy. What about me? So there's, I gave on this sheet, I'll tell you honestly, I wanted to limit the amount of answers that you can give. This answer is, it's all over the place. You could probably find about 30 answers to this question without a problem looking it up. I started looking up Achronim and Brachos to try to come up with answers, and I came up with too many. I kept them all out. I said, forget it, I'm not including. There's the Marsha, there's the Ben Yoyada, there's the Maral. There's answers all over the place. Maral's not here on Brachos, it's elsewhere. But regardless, what's the pshat? The Kli Yakar says, when Bnei Yisrael saw what Moshe Rabbeinu was like, they could not help but have Yira. When you saw a guy like him, you couldn't help it. It was easy. It was easy. Legabe Moshe, if you were around Moshe Rabbeinu, how could you not fear God? That was the idea behind it. There are certain Talmidei Chachamim in every generation that have that ability. I remember when I first went to Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman. I'm not saying it's the same person by everybody, but when I first went to Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman, I was scared. Like it wasn't like he could beat me up. He's like half my size, and I don't know if my arm is right here is bigger than his entire body. I mean, Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman is not an imposing figure. He's not scary at all. But he looked up and he said, I was asking for a bracha for my yeshiva program that I was still running at Adas Yeshurun. And I was asking for a bracha for it to go well. And he said to me, who's the Rosh Yeshiva? And I said, well, there is no real Rosh Yeshiva because it's just a program. We're just getting guys to learn. So that, you know, that's that. He said, you have no Rosh Yeshiva? And he looked at me and he shook his head just a little bit. He's like, yeah. And that's what he told me in Yiddish. And I sat there and after I went to the bathroom on myself, it was just scary speaking to a person like Ron Leib Shteinman and to have just a little bit of a feeling that he's not happy with you. Also, you're a Moshe Zutrasi, you think it's so easy? Well, if you're around a person like Moshe Rabbeinu and you're in awe of him, you're afraid of him, so to speak, you're going to have fear for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's automatic. There's no way.
10 gold shekelim.
Yeah.
Today's value is $4,222.
It's not bad.
No.
Still in one bracha.
Yeah.
Anybody want to take a bracha away? That's not bad. That's really not bad. That's pretty impressive. The Yismach Moshe, the Kedushas Levi, the Chtam Sofer, they all understand it a little bit simpler. It's our second answer. Moshe was such a humble person. Such a humble person. He saw that he had Yiras Shamayim. He looked at everybody else and he said, you all must have Yiras Shamayim. If I have Yiras Shamayim, certainly everyone must have Yiras Shamayim. And that's what it means. It means, Atu Yira Milsa Zutrasi, Legabe Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is looking at Bnei Yisrael and he's saying, of course you guys have Yiras Shamayim. If it's for I have it, and it's obviously I'm a nobody, then for sure you all have it. Obviously we know Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong because he's the humblest person that ever lived and he was much greater than everybody there. So it is difficult. But Moshe Rabbeinu in his mind was looking at the people and saying, how could you not have Yira? You're greater than me. It's such an unbelievable line. You should know, the Chassam Sofer says, how could Moshe Rabbeinu honestly think that he was the humblest person? Like, honestly, could he really think that way? The people were all standing up for him. They were bowing down to him as he was walking by. Everybody waited with bated breath for every word that Moshe Rabbeinu said. You know what the Chassam Sofer says? He says, here's what Moshe Rabbeinu was thinking. Every time somebody stood up for him, he said, that guy's more humble than me, because he's greater than me, yet he's standing up for me. I don't stand up for him. He stands up for me. So that shows that he's even more humble than I am. if you standing up for me. When they would listen to his words, he would look at them and he would say, they already know this. But they're listening to me because they're so humble, they don't want to tell me that they already know this. So they're more humble than I am in everything I do. That's Tom Silver.
He obviously knows that they don't know that. Like that would almost be like...
I thought it was a fair thing. You just thought that they were in the code of a shadow.
Through him. The other, listen, the answer the Chofetz Chaim always gave to the question was something simple. He knew himself, and he knew if somebody else had his neshama, they would be greater. That's true humility. If they had my abilities, they would do it better. That's the idea behind it. But no, it's a line. This is the line from the Chacham Sofer. It was a side note. He just happened to say it, and I thought it was amazing, because it's not what you think about it. Sfat Emes, in 1904...
patronizing them.
No, real mentor. Otherwise, you wouldn't be called on
the Mikolov. Like, you don't, it's like, oh, they already know that.
No. On the Mikolov. That's the point. On the Mikolov, that he was. Yeah, if Akash Baruch Hu says it about you, you're pretty good. The Sfatam is 1904, the Sfatam says, every Jew is a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu within them. And for that spark to come out, if you bring it out, then you'll have your Shemayim without a problem. It's, Legabe Moshe. If you find the Moshe within you, if you find that Moshe Rabbeinu within you, then you'll automatically be able to have your Shemayim. It won't even be a challenge. You'll automatically have your Shemayim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the idea behind it. But you have to bring out the Moshe within you. That's the idea the Sfas Emes talks about, and that's the idea behind it. Now, the Chofetz Chaim, unfortunately, no. Chofetz Chaim, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Aaron Cutler, Rav Chaim Knievsky, the Netziv, and Rav Schwab all give the same answer with different words. It's all the exact same answer. Now, they are different, and that's why I wrote each one of them down in different ways. The Chofetz Chaim is by far, he's a little bit different. He gives the difference between Yira and Pachad. Well, everybody else goes a different way. But the idea is, and this is the yeshivish like, type of lingo that's used. I'm sure it started in Lakewood, because Rav Aaron Cutler gave this as a schmooze in Lakewood. But the line is, there's Yiras Hashem, and Yiras HaOnesh, we'll call it, and Yiras HaRomamus. Here's the difference between them. Yiras HaOnesh is that there's a guy there with a sword or a whip, and if you do something bad, he's going to punish you. That's Yiras HaOnesh. That's easy to get to. When you see the guy who's punished you before, and you see him with the whip in his hand, and he's waiting for you to do something wrong, you're afraid of the possible punishment that's coming out there. That's what I'm worried about, right? I'm worried that somebody is going to do something to me. Yiras HaRomamus is a different level. You're not worried that the guy's going to punish you. You're not worried the guy's going to whip you. You're in awe of the person to the point where it's almost too much to be able to talk. My son told me today that he went to Bears training camp with his camp. And he got a signature of Jay Cutler. Now, there is nothing to be afraid of by Jay Cutler. Absolutely nothing. The guy might not even have a job after this season. There's not much to worry about such a guy. But he said that when he came by and he signed his hat, he said he couldn't talk. He wanted to say thank you, but he couldn't say thank you. He couldn't do it. Now, is he afraid? Now, granted, he's 6'2". He probably weighs about 180 pounds, right? So I would assume, right, that, you know, that he's, I think he's under 200, right? But 6'2", 180 is a scary, imposing person for a kid that's like that tall. I grant that. But it's not like he's waiting for him, like he's saying, like, oh my gosh, he's going to punch me in the face. There's an awe that you feel when you're around somebody that you feel is greater than you. You can't say or do what you want to do because you're in awe of that person. That is the greatness of having a king, which we don't have anymore, right? But having a king around, where you feel like you just can't speak in front of him because he's just too much. I don't know if you'd feel that way. I would hope that we'd still feel that way about the President of the United States of America, right? But I just heard a story about George W. Bush, President George W. Bush, going and doing jury duty, along with all these other people, that he was standing behind them in jury duty, and once they found out it was him, then they're all taking pictures and they're all going around him. The awe isn't there anymore. The awe isn't there. 60 years ago, 70 years ago, you don't go around taking a selfie with the president. That doesn't happen. You don't go around. You take a picture of him from afar. You stay away, so to speak. There's an awe law that the president should have, even if he doesn't have. That's the Yiras Rumus. Here's the pshat. Yiras HaOnesh, the Gemara says, is an easy thing. I understand that. But Atu Yira Milsa Zutrasihi is Yiras HaRomimus, which is really what God wants from us. Is that so easy to do? I understand that you could be afraid of a Kadosh Baruch Hu punishing you. But Yiras HaRomimus, being in awe of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is that easy? How is that easy? And that's the line that we're using. Lagabe Moshe Yira Milsa Zutrasihi. Yes, because you can build your way up to Yiras HaRomimus, either by having Moshe Rabbeinu around, or having the Moshe within you, or anything like that. But their ideas are all the same, that it's a difference in type of Yira that we're speaking of, the idea behind being afraid or being in awe of the person. And that's the ultimate level. Our last line that we're going to use from the Sfatamas, and I really started off this way, but I want to end off in the same way. Sfatamas in 1872 asks one great question. We see in the Pasuk, you don't just have Yira. It's not just Yira. It's Yira and Ava and Dveikas and everything else. You're expected to do so much more. So why does everything added on? He's asking us to do everything. How can that be considered easy to do? And he answers, Sfatama says, once you come to the level of Yira, it's easy to do everything else. He says, this is what the Mesilas Yesharim meant. When he says you have to build your way up, step by step, level by level, to get your way up there. Once you get to Yira, you could be Megala, everything within you. You're able to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. You can become a Ma. What am I? I'm a nobody. And you can turn a Ma into a Mea, something that represents shlemus and perfection. So thus, the aleph that's missing from the pasuk is missing on purpose. It's to tell you, how do you come to the level of Yira? Ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Meimo. To become a Ma, to become a, what am I? To become a, I don't know if I'm anything more than just a little bit. By doing that, you make yourself into a Mea. You make yourself even greater by adding a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, to your system. And by doing that, that's the idea of making 100 brachos every day. Being mevatel yourself and saying, God is in charge. He's the one that tells me to do it. I'm making these 100 brachos for Him. That's the idea of how to build yourself up and become a great person. So we'll just, very quick, Chazara. We started off in the beginning. We asked why Atah refers to Tshuva. We gave the Chofetz Chaim the three different answers to that. We brought down the Gemara Menachos, that your Chayim make 100 brachos each day. We learned where that came from, the four or five different answers that it came from. The Marsha's problem with Rashi and his answer that it was, there was a problem with the pasuk itself. We then went into when the 100 brachos started. We said that it might have been David HaMelech, Moshe Rabbeinu, possibly when it was forgotten. We brought down an amazing Ksam Sofer. We said the milas of saying 100 brachos each day, there were five milas brought down. We then said, what does it mean, Atu Yira Milsa Zutrasi? Why is it so easy? We gave four different answers to that, but really there were more. We skipped a bunch. And then finally, why we add on everything, to say that the whole point is to make a Ma, a what am I, into a Mea. That's the idea behind it. We'll stop at this.